Dancing on Broken Ankles, A Heart That Dances, written by J.P. Sterling, narrated by Casey Miracle. Chapter 1. St. Augustine wrote, "Learn to dance, so when you get to heaven, the angels know what to do with you." I always thought that was a pleasant image for people who like to think about the pleasantries of the afterlife. But for me, I knew I first needed to get through this life. So for now, I dance to forget. With my dance bag balanced on my shoulder, I ease through the front door of my house and softly latch the lock behind me. Lingering in the entryway, I could hear my dad's baritone voice boom from the kitchen.
"What do you think I'm doing?"
"I don't know anymore. That's why I asked." My mom's reply was just another forlorn attempt to make my dad empathize with her, but I knew neither my dad nor I had much empathy left for her.
"I don't get why you don't trust me."
He sounded exhausted.
"Because you didn't tell me the truth right away. I had to find out from your mother, of all people."
I shut my eyes, hoping to become invisible. Last week, I had found my mom crying alone in her darkened bedroom after my dad had stormed out of the house. I had also noticed she stopped wearing makeup. This is what she did when she had crying spells. It was easier to not put on makeup than to try to clean a smeared-up mess. Hearing them argue again, I tiptoed toward the kitchen, listening unashamedly.
"You never forget anything, do you? I wish I could be perfect like you," my dad replied.
I absorbed his words with my eyes still closed. I hated the feeling I got when I heard them fight. I held my breath, trying to go unnoticed in the deafening silence. In a defeated voice, my mom finally broke the air.
"This isn't working anymore, Cole. So much has changed."
"I agree. I wish I could do so many things differently. But life doesn't give you any do-overs. I can't live my life with this hanging over my head every day. We need to move past it."
My dad's voice was sorrowful, making me wonder what he had done.
"Wanda said she could have the house on the market by Monday if we sign the papers today."
I grinned silently and mouthed to no one, "They're selling the house?"
"Did she say what we can get for it?"
Dad asked.
"She said the Becker house down the street sold for 1.2 mil. She thought the market had gone up a little since then."
"That's not too bad. It would give us more than enough money to start over."
"A fresh start is exactly what we all need." I was dumbfounded and had no idea why we would move. My mind raced through all the signs that I had been witnessing over the last month: arguing, conversations about money, weird fights about responsibilities. They even quizzed me last week about the worth of my private school education. I didn't want to move, but the more I thought about it, I knew I'd be okay if I had to leave my house. My friend Tina moved a few years ago after her mom died. She got a dog to keep at her new house, but I doubted my mom would let me have a dog. She doesn't like animals. In fact, she doesn't like most things. She walks around with a fuzzy unibrow all the time because she's forever upset her life isn't what she had planned. Their argument had fizzled to a silence, so I opened the hall closet and purposefully let my dance bag drop noisily to the floor to announce my arrival.
"Abs?"
Mom called.
"Yeah? I'm making dinner. You hungry?"
Dad said. "Can I eat in my room?" I walked into the kitchen, finding a pan of my dad's famous enchiladas cooling on the top of the stove.
"You not feeling well?"
Dad raised an eyebrow toward me. "I'm okay. I want to start studying for my math exam tomorrow." It was partly true. I left out the part about how I couldn't stand any longer because my ankle was killing me. My dancing was one of the issues that gave my mom a fuzzy unibrow. She would use any excuse she could come up with for me to not participate, and she'd pounce on it like a cat locked in a cage with a bird. Without waiting for permission, I dished up an enchilada, grabbed a napkin and fork, and headed toward my room.
"Don't forget we have dinner tomorrow night with the Rogers,"
my dad called after me.
"I didn't forget," I moaned.
The Rogers were my parents' best friends. They had two kids. Their daughter, Millie, was super sweet and in the second grade. She loved unicorns and dolls. She was fun to have around. But then there was her brother, Fulton, who was a year older than me. We'd been forced together our whole lives. It wasn't bad when we were little, but...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?